Mikey Ehrenberg and his band Laser Beam on CJUM 101.5.
You're listening to a special podcast produced by UMFM 101.5 in partnership with our friends at the Big Fun Festival. Over 7 episodes Sled Island Selects, The Road to Sled will promote just a few of the great Winnipeg acts making the trip west to Calgary for Sled Island 2017. Each June, this 5-day music and arts festival brings together a community of over 250 bands, comedians, filmmakers and artists, as well as over 30,000 attendees in more than 35 venues. Sit back and join David Dobbs, host of Hell Yeah Winnipeg, as he speaks to our old buddy Micah Ehrenberg in episode number 4. Micah also performs 3 songs live from the floor right here at UMFM. You can catch the Micah Ehrenberg Band as they perform on the Broken City Patio on Saturday, June 24th at 3:30 p.m. alongside Sleep Kit and Consilience. For the full festival lineup, to purchase tickets, or for more information on Sled Island 2017, visit www.sledisland.com. I said, well, Doc, I'm higher than a
telephone wire. You gotta get me some more of that stuff. Micah Ehrenberg, thanks for taking the time out of your day. I know you're on the road. Where are you right now?
We are driving between Abbotsford and Salt Spring Island right now.
And what are you doing out there?
We're on a tour, kind of just a last push of our album and our stuff that we put out in September, and now we're kind of working on a new album, so figured we'd do one last tour before we kind of batten down the hatches and get that one new one done.
What album are you working on? Am I allowed to know the title?
Working title.
I
don't know the title yet.
Gotcha. Yeah. Cool. So I have a list of questions here that I've been asking all the bands who are participating in this year's Sled Island Music Festival. Question number 1, how did Micah Ehrenberg and band feel about getting into the festival this year?
Pretty awesome, man. We got in through First Date Touring, which is those guys from Winnipeg. It's like our agent is Adam Soloway. But yeah, I mean, pretty awesome. Like, I've never been to Sled Island. I never really knew anything about it. But it feels pretty awesome to be able to play, because you know it's hard to get in.
And so, like, for someone like yourself, why would you want to play Sled? Like, what are the advantages of going to that festival as a performer?
I think a big part of it is being able to network with other bands, just because there are so many. Just the show that we're doing, you know, obviously play with a couple other bands, but it would be sweet to meet them, but then also to have the time to be able to go and check stuff out. And also, like, I don't really know. I know that it's like, apparently it's like a showcase thing, right? So there's people that work in the music industry, I guess, that attend these events and stuff, which is pretty cool. And I'm not super on the up and up with what happens in that world, but at the same time, I know that there's probably a little bit more opportunity than just, say, playing at a bar in Vancouver or in Calgary or something like that on a random day.
Cool. And then just as, like, you know, a peer and a music fan, what other artists are you excited to see at the festival?
Other artists I'm excited to see at the festival? I honestly don't. Let me ask the guys. Hang on a second. Hang on 1 second. Hey, dude. What artists are you excited to see at Sled Island? Flying Lotus. Kieran Media, Converge. I like don't know any bands. Like, people in my band know what music like exists. I don't really know what music exists except for like just like old stuff or people that I know. I mean, Living Hours playing, that's cool. I'm not sure what other Winnipeg bands are playing, but I'm obviously stoked for them.
Great, that's all good. So question number 4 here, how are you guys getting to the festival?
We are driving to the festival. We're on tour until June 20th we get back to Winnipeg, and then 23rd we head back to Calgary. So it's kind of hilarious because we're going to be there right before that. We drive a Dodge Town & Country minivan with a trailer called the Nighthawk.
Right on.
Yeah, we rented off our buddy. He's awesome. But hopefully we'll be getting down to 24th. They'll be playing the 23rd at night. They'll be playing the 24th, and then probably leave at the 25th at some point in the morning.
Cool, very cool. So I got a couple more questions here for you guys. Micah Ehrenberg, if you could play with anyone, dead or alive, if you could open up direct support for anyone, dead or alive, who would you open up for and why?
Oh, man, that's a really tough one. Dead or alive? Probably Challenge Van Zandt. I don't know. He's an interesting dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe cool. Neil Young as a young person, but not as an old man.
Yeah. Cool, cool. And so when do you guys play and where do you guys play at the festival?
You know what? The name of the venue totally slipped my mind. I'm actually waiting on an official invite still. I have an email that says where we're playing and who we're playing with.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's 3 p.m. on some sort of patio on the Saturday, which is the 24th.
And so the last question for you, is there anything else you'd like to touch on? You said you're on a tour already. You said you're recording an album already. But is there anything else you'd like to kind of send out into the world as Micah Ehrenberg?
Well, probably just look out for us in Manitoba in the summertime because we're going to be playing a bunch of shows and festivals and stuff. And check out the band In With The Old from Saskatoon because they're awesome.
Excellent. Right on. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. Micah, I'm excited to see you at the festival and we'll put this up right away.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome, David. Thank you for the call.
Yep. Have a great day, guys.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. So this is a song about a guy and a girl. I guess the guy's a biker or he's a gangster of some sort, and he meets this girl who likes his style, and they kind of have a little story that goes like this. Well, we good to go?
We're good.
All right. Says Molly to James, that's a fine motorbike. A girl could feel special on any such light. Says James to Red Molly, my hat's off to you. It's a Vincent Black Lightning, 1952. Well, I've seen you in the corners and cafes, it seems. Red hair and black leather, my favorite color scheme. But he pulled her on behind and down to Box Hill they did rise. I got coffee fingers. Says James to Red Molly, here's a ring for your right hand. But I'll tell you in earnest, I'm a dangerous man. For I fought with the law since I was 17. Well, I robbed many a man to get my Vincent machine. Now I'm 21 years and I might make 22. And I don't mind dying if it's for the love of you. But if fate should break my stride, then I'll give you my Vincent to rise. Sergeant McRae, for they've taken young James Addy for armed robbery. A shotgun blast hit his chest and left nothing inside. Well, come down, Red Molly, to his dying bedside. And when she came to the hospital, there wasn't much left. He was running out of road and he was running out of breath. But he smiled to see her cry. And he said, I'll give you my Vincent to ride. Says James, in my opinion, there's nothing in this world that beats a 52 Vincent and a red-headed girl. Now Nordens, not Indians, nor Grievouses won't do, for they don't have a soul like a Vincent 52. And when he reached for her hand and he slipped her the keys, he said, I've got no further use for these. I see angels and aerials and leather and chrome swooping down from heaven to carry me home. And he gave her one last kiss and died. And he gave her his Vincent to rise.
My name is Mike Ehrenberg, and this is a song I wrote called Farron Hall. Oh, Farron Hall. The man who died in the same river that he saved more than just two people from. Farron Hall, the wounded healer, who cared for those with the suffering souls, died the homeless hero, the poorest people's saint. He saved two people from the dirty river, just sitting on the banks, putting beer through his liver. He lived in a tent there from time to time for the better part of 6 or 7 years. The first was Joseph. It was 2009. He was just 19 when he almost died. Was a good thing Farron was a-living by the river then. 4 months later, Tara Beauty went under, followed by Chris Harper, trying to save his lover. The current was strong, but the boy couldn't swim. Farron got the girl, but he couldn't get him. And there he cried on the evening news and said he couldn't live with all that guilt. He said he should have saved that man and was to blame for him being killed. 5 years later, underneath a bridge, they found a body up against the wall. Police came and they identified the man lying there as Farron Hall. He was the homeless hero, the poorest people's saint. But he didn't get no help from those that could. Mayor Cates gave nothing but a couple awards and season tickets to the baseball game. They set up an endowment fund in a current alcoholic's name. They put him in the public eye, and every time he slipped, the whole town knew. He didn't see why they had to care so much about him doing what he had to do. That's no way to treat a hero, I'd say. No way to treat a troubled mind. That's just how they treated Farron Hall, the homeless hero, the day he died. Well, story starts out on the reservation, where nothing's quite the same. Little boy's parents worked a hell of a lot, but they drank all their money away. And word got round to Children's Aid. They came and took their baby away. And Farron's fate was a foster home. White kids living for an Indian soul. 8 years old, they brought him back to the reserve. They said, son, good luck living off the things that you learned. So Farron spent the most of his time swimming down by the creek. Well, he swam all day and he swam all night. All the kids said he swam his whole damn life. And that's how Farron learned to save those folks. A poor boy's creek, the only place to go. And when he came to be a man, he met a woman named Cheryl James. She gave him her whole world, and he gave her the same. They lived together for 8 good years, and Farron only drank from time to time. But when his mother was killed on Maryland Street, he couldn't sleep at night. So he drank every day, and he sank real low, and soon a stabbing took his sister too. He wished he'd could have known them better, but there was nothing now that he could do. That's when Farron started living on the river, getting by on just what he could find. And that's how he found Joseph and Tara, and how it changed his life. He was the homeless hero, the poorest people's saint. But he didn't get no help from those that could. Mayor Cates gave nothing but a couple awards and season tickets to the baseball game. They set up an endowment fund in a current alcoholic's name. They put him in the public eye, and every time he slipped, the whole town knew. He didn't see why they had to care so much about him doing what he had to do. That's no way to treat a hero, I'd say. No way to treat a troubled mind. But that's just how they treated Farron Hall, the homeless hero, the day he died. Well, Farron kept on living his life just like he'd done before. He cleaned up and slipped up and did it over again. Went to jail once more. But things had changed for the worse for Farron Hall. For every time that he did fall, his name would end up in the public press. He was a face for homelessness. And that same year he was beaten down on Christmas Eve. He said they'd recognized him from the TV. And he was beaten down once again by a girl in a government apartment building. And that same year Farron's father passed on. But it was true that they were both now gone. For ever since that funeral day, Farron was not seen again. He was the homeless hero, the poorest people's saint. He didn't get no help from those that could. Mayor Cates gave nothing but a couple awards and season tickets to the baseball game. They set up an endowment fund in a current alcoholic's name. They put him in the public eye, and every time he slipped, the whole town knew. He didn't see why they had to care so much about him doing what he had to do. And that's no way to treat a hero, I'd say. No way to treat a troubled mind. But that's just how they treated Farron Hall, the homeless hero, the day he died. That's just how they treated Farron Hall, the homeless hero, the day.
This song is called Sing for My Supper. friend had a party, was his 25th birthday. Someone gave me some cocaine, it went straight to my left brain. I couldn't read or write all night, but I could sing my songs alright. To my brand new girlfriend, it let me sleep in her bed again. Well, I ain't got no reason to love her. And so I sing for my supper. Met a girl with a half a brain, yeah, her house was filled with. Well, I must really f*** her up, cause she never learned how to trust. She only learned how to lie to me and how to tell me how love should be. Well, I really didn't like that shit. I'm glad I got the f*** out of it. Well, I don't know why I loved her. And so I sing for my supper. Oh, I sing for my supper. Oh, I sing for my supper. Sing for my supper. Party in a parking lot, was big enough to get the cops. Someone gave me a bong rip, made me feel like a little kid. Started screaming at the top of my lungs, started singing songs we already sung. Well, goddamn it, that was good weed, and maybe it was laced with PCP. Well, I did not want to get higher. I sing for my supper. Oh, I sing for my supper. Oh, I sing for my supper.
This has been Sled Island Selects, The Road to Sled, episode number 4 with Micah Ehrenberg. To hear more of these podcasts, visit umfm.com or soundcloud.com/umfm1015. Also, if you're in Calgary for the festival, be sure to check out the Big Fun Showcase on June 22nd at Broken City, featuring Diana, Living Hour, Porcelain Raft, and Island Eyes. Thanks for listening. To close out, here's Micah's number one must-see pick for Sled 2017, Converge.